Clark. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and go to Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. You may say this morning, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord already, amen? And you may look at my suit and say, what's missing? Preacher's suit. So I wanted to show you how easy this is so all of you could do it. Now, I'm missing a button. I don't know how many of you quickly said he's missing his button, amen? But you can just get one out of the basket at the doors and you just put it right on your suit like this, or your purse, or your jacket, or, amen, and you got one. And now the outfit's complete. Now you're fashionable, amen? You make a landmark statement when you put this button on, amen? All right. Isaiah chapter 6, I want to preach a message to you this morning, and I know the time as far as trying to be mindful of that. I did plan for Brother Gall to be doing this, but I want you to take home with you today. It's the first Sunday of 2024. And so one of the things is I really talked to God and I prepared and looked into a brand new year. You know, a lot of times we focus on vision, but vision is only one of our senses. And so vision is oftentimes not something that, it's something that helps us. But we have so many senses to be able to do that. And we're made in the image of God. And sometimes we miss some of the things that God does. But here in Isaiah chapter 6, many times we realize, and most of us recognize, and we think about this passage as he had a vision. But all five of his natural senses are dealt with in the passage. And he senses God here. And again, all of them are recorded for us to realize that God doesn't just want us to see things done or to be able to see or have vision, but he wants us to reach us in every way possible. You know, I get, you know, sometimes we miss that, and we miss that who God is and all that he's trying to reach out and do in our lives, but God wants us. And I want to preach a message on sensing God and sensing his presence in 2024. You know, when God becomes real to us, when God becomes real, it changes who we are. It'll change how we act. It changes how we function on a daily basis because God is real. You know, when God is real to you, it will change your family. Because they can see it. They can feel it. They can smell it on you. I want to just quickly try to take some things from the passage of Scripture, and it's not going to be heavily on application, but I'm just going to tell you, you know, I mean, he sees God high and lifted up before we read the passage of Scripture. If you're ever going to really get a good vision of who God is, it's always going to be looking up. Sometimes we get looking down and we can say, but listen, you're not going to find God in the ditch. That's where God's going to find you. He's going to send someone to come and find you and speak to you and touch you there. But it's when we realize he sent somebody, boy, we begin to change and we begin to look up. This morning I pulled out and I'm like anybody else. I had determined that this year I was going to be positive and glad. And I pulled out and it was raining. Right? And so I started thinking thoughts, but you know, God reminded me, it wasn't until I really, instead of looking down at the road and all the rain, and I looked up and above the clouds, there was a great big rainbow. And my sorrow for the little bit of rain turned to gladness that God wasn't flooding the joint. That the water wasn't up over the tires. It was just watering the grass and getting everything green again. And so for us to put it in perspective today, think about what it is when we really truly sense what God wants. God wants the best. He wants our good and his glory to be done in 2024 through our lives. And so with that, I want to be able to read the scripture this morning, but let's first pray and ask God to help us this morning. Dear Lord, I do pray that God, you help me, keep me, stay on basis, Lord. Help me be focused, Lord. Help me to deliver what you've delivered to me from your word. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Amen. In verse number 1, we see, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and these are angels. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, saying, A live coal is in his hand, and he had taken with the, he took it from the altar. He says he took it with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I have heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. I don't know if you picked it up and maybe you took some notes, but I just want you to see in the scripture and go through it with me. The first thing that happens, and it time stamps a time in his life, and for all of us, we ought to be able to go back to the place that we saw God for who he was, high and lifted up. That he's a high and holy God who, without, again, I just taught in Sunday school the Psalm 100, and it talks about how his mercy is everlasting. When I see a holy God, I realize a holy God that didn't need to have anything to do with an unholy man sent his son from heaven to die on Calvary and to pay for my way back. Listen, that didn't make him less holy. That made him more holy in my book. That didn't make him a step down. It means that he decided to, instead of stepping down, he lifted me up. Folks, I'm going to tell you, boy, I don't know where you are today, but when you look into 2024, if you really want to get a vision for the year, take a hard look at God and who he is. Not just for what you're going to accomplish, and sometimes we make our vision messages about what we're going to accomplish, but I decided this year to look at God and say, God, what are you going to accomplish? God, what are you going to do? Because I realize again that I have no power to accomplish anything outside of him. And that if we do anything, it ought to be he who gets the glory. It ought to be a year of saying, holy, holy, holy is our God, the King of hosts. Folks, I don't know about you this morning, but man, I want to see God high and lifted up in my life. You know, God, whether you see him that way or not, is seated upon the throne of all things. There is no Thor. There is no Viking God. There is no all these little G gods that try to take his place and we try to cumber our minds with it. There's no Buddha, Muhammad, and all those folks who are men. They're not gods. They should not be worshipped, and they should not rob the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of his glory. For he sits high and lifted up above the heavens of all things and has sent his son to die for our sins. And on the first Sunday of the year, we ought to set our eyes on things that are above, not the things that are below. Sometimes we get so encumbered by looking down because we feel like I'm not holy and he is holy. How can I look upon him? Listen, folks, I'm just going to tell you, even in Isaiah's life, when he sees a good look at God, he takes a good look at himself. But you know what he determines to do? And I want you to know this. When God allowed him to see himself, it made him realize that he was not holy. But when he was willing to change, God took the... Listen, he didn't do the work. God did the work in him. Listen, if you determined in 2024, I agree with you, I agree with myself, I can't fix me, I can't change, I can't be different, I can't be holy... But God can make me holy. God can do a work. God can change. If I determine to change the way I speak, or that I'm a man of unclean lips like Isaiah, God will grab some tongs off the altar. Listen, I don't know about you. It didn't burn his mouth. We think, oh man, this was searing and changing. And No. It changed his taste. You know, once you've met God and God's done a work in your heart, you know, when I got saved, you know, I mean, I remember my dad speaking about this. My dad got saved. And my dad, I remember he got, I was just a little boy. I was 5 years old. And I remember them telling the story. I'd have those, how many of you had them like play school things where you put the little blocks in, you beat the things through, and you knock them through the other side, you take the wood. And I don't know why they have a wooden hammer, man. I want a hammer. Bless God, you know, hitting wood with wood. I don't want that, right? So I'm in there beating it, and I would purposely put my thumb on the block, and I'd hit my thumb. Not so hard that I'd hurt myself, but I'd hit my thumb, and then I would say what my daddy said when he hit his thumb. And my mom said, "You don't say that." And I said, "Daddy say that." And my mom says, "I don't care what your daddy says. You ain't going to say that." But you know what? My dad got saved. And the man that didn't think that he could change that about himself because he thought it was in him, God changed his taste. And when he would say that and it came out of his mouth, my dad would be broken. It didn't taste the same as it used to when it came out. He changed my dad's talk. He changed my dad's walk. He changed his destination of heaven, all because God was holy and he saw God for who he was. Folks, I don't know about you, but sensing God in our lives and his presence in 2024 is essential to church growth, to personal growth, and to families' growth. This place doesn't change and grow unless families grow. This place is a group of families made together and a part of God's family. And unless we determine to get our eyes on God as a group, as a whole, as a family unit, we'll just keep spinning our wheels. We'll keep looking down and looking for something to grow up out of the ground that we didn't plant. You know, I don't know about you, but I realize that everything I am today, listen, if you look back at my family and where I came from, this ain't what I would have looked like. But when God got in my family, when my parents got a vision of who God was, it changed our family from the inside out. It changes from the bottom side up. Now, that don't always work. But, you know, in my family, it's just like the Word of God. Just as a little child, so lead them. Now, I didn't get married first, but I was the first one to get soft about the things of God. And I started to encourage my mom and dad to come to church, and it didn't take long for the preacher to be speaking about who God was and where people were going to spend eternity for my mom and dad to begin to lift their eyes up and look to heaven. And it changed us. Look at the scripture. I want you to see here, he sees. He says, "I saw also the Lord," in verse number 1, "sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Now, I didn't know God had trains. But whatever that train was, it filled the temple. Now, I like to think it was one of them, like something like a Lionel train, you know? And maybe big enough you could ride on it. Because I'm going to go to heaven and be like, choo-choo. Around the throne of God. And we can laugh about that and have a good time, but it's trained. It's just talking about, listen, God, you know, when God comes into a space, his desire is to fill it up. And a lot of time for us, God realizes when he takes up, he gets whatever we give him. And when he got me, he got a man full of sin. And he saved me and forgave it, but it didn't mean that all of everything changed. My taste hadn't changed. What I listened to didn't change. The way I talked didn't change. None of that. What I looked to for help didn't change immediately. But all of a sudden, God began to work. He talks about how he heard. You know, what you hear changes you. You see, he sees God high and lifted up. But then these seraphims, the messengers of God, began to speak in his presence and said, I don't believe he knew exactly what he wanted to say. I think if I stood in the presence of God, if you stood in the presence of God, you would be silent. You would not know what to say or what to speak. You would be listening and be all ears. And so the angels who were the messengers of God said, this is what you ought to say when you're in the presence of God. And they say, holy, holy, holy. If you even pick up the idea, these guys are flying around with two wings and they got some covering their face because even an angel who is not a sinful being like you or me, still didn't want to show his face to God. He didn't even want to show his dirty feet to God. He covered all those things up and cried, "Holy, holy, holy." And these are not just any old average angel. These are the angels of the angels. These are the best of the best. And they cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Do you know, I know that this whole place, you know, this whole place, if we just, we look up and see who God is, all of a sudden throughout the day, when we begin to look around at all of what he's created, we'll realize how much we will, the earth will be full of his glory. Because when I look up and see God for who he is, I realize his train doesn't just fill the temple in heaven. His train fills all the earth. When you drive by a tree, it's not just rainbows, but trees ought to tell you, man, God is good. Because he didn't just make trees, he made a bunch of different kinds of trees. He didn't just make grass, he made a bunch of different grass. He didn't make just dirt. I don't know about you, but where I come from, there's black dirt and there's sand. And you know, why I moved here? I think God put me here because I can't stand that red dirt in the middle. That clay. I went down there. I spent a summer, maybe 2 months, in old that North Carolina clay. And I thought, this ain't right. Something's wrong with this. You can't grow stuff in this. All you can grow in this is tobacco. And they do. Folks, I'm just telling you, I realized that God made all this, and he didn't, you know, he even changed, he made dirt different. All kinds of different soils. And when you look at that, if we were really and had a good picture of who God is and how holy he is, even when we looked down and we were digging dirt, we'd realize that God is good. That the earth is full of his glory. You can look up through the top of the sky and through the firmament, and it don't matter how far you dig down. All you're ever going to get is God is good. And he's the great creator, and he's so powerful. And every one of us ought to take a good look at him, but then we ought to listen up and hear that he's holy. When we see him, we ought to give him glory. How about this? He goes on, he says, "And the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried." This isn't even God speaking. This is just the angel. "And it shook the place." When you get a good, when God is in your presence, it ought to shake you. It ought to shake you to your core. Folks, but you know, the Bible tells us, and these doorposts, you know, when you hang doorposts or gateposts, anything that's holding something up, it ain't just set on the floor. It's got its roots down in the floor. It's got some concrete or rock around it. It's buried deep because it's got weight it's going to carry. And a Christian ought to be that way. We ought to set roots. We ought to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bringing forth fruit in his season. That means not all of us are going to produce our whole lives. But boy, when we get a picture of who God is and we get rooted in his word and in his goodness and his holiness, all of a sudden in my season, when I come into season, you know how that is? When I get my chance, when I finally give myself to God and he uses me, all of a sudden I'll be fruitful for him. I haven't always been fruitful for him, but I got a season. Now, you know, some of us, our seasons are longer or shorter than others. But we all, when we get a good picture of who God is and we hear who he is and we're shaken to our core. You know, I don't know about you, but when you get shaken, when you think about it, and I don't want to get lost here in this, and if I'm not careful, I will. But I believe we're close to the end. I believe Jesus is coming back, and I believe there's signs of his coming. Even reading in the paper, I don't know how many of you are marking and keeping track of all the earthquakes, the shaking that's going on the earth. That's the Bible says more and more of that's going to happen as Jesus gets closer and closer to coming back for his church. But they're more and more frequent. And now, when I was a boy, they were becoming more and more frequent. And they were recording more and more than they ever had. And now, they're getting more and more intense. Because the earth is groaning and moving and waiting and anxious about the one who is holy, who's going to come back and set everything right. And folks, I mean, for me, if the earth and the plants and the rocks, that if we don't cry out, we'll cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." Those things that God created, He created us to be the ones that cry out, holy, holy, holy. The ones that get shaken to the core when we hear how holy He is and we're reminded of it. Boy, in 2024, this for me, I wanted not to come and shake you, but I want you to realize again and look back, and maybe you can find a place where God shook you up and it shook you to your core and you set down roots. You know, the Christian life this year ought to be, some of you, you've been in the Christian life for a long time and you think you're rooted and you could survive any storm. You know what the best thing you could do is determine to put down deeper roots this year. Because if Jesus don't come back, tribulation's not going to get easier. It's going to get tougher. If Jesus don't come back and He leaves us here and gives us opportunity to serve Him in this generation, we better set down some roots. We better be a doorpost that can hold up, because the door, Jesus Christ, is still wide open and waiting for Jesus. He's waiting for people to come to Jesus and knock that door and let them come in. Folks, He's looking for that. But listen, He doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just feel. The Bible says that He can feel our infirmities. He's a great high priest that sits in the heavens. He's shaken when I'm shaken. When something shakes me, it touches the heart of God, and He hears and answers my prayers. That's important for me to understand, that I'm not just made in His image, but He was made perfect through suffering. You know, when you suffer, Jesus got a taste of what you're getting. To be honest with you, He took more than you'll ever take. And so when you are going through a tough time, He can empathize with you because He's been through it. He can hear your prayer and it touches His heart. And He, who is holy, will do what is just in your life. Look at what He says here. He feels it. Now, then it says, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, I don't think this was every time. I've even had some smoke that, you know, come up that it isn't when you burn something at the house. Not that my wife burns things, but she's been gone for a few days to see the grandbaby. So I've been cooking. So there has been smoke in the house. Right? And it didn't necessarily fill the house. But, you know, smoke is something that you smell, and that's one of our... But, you know, when you smell something like that, you can almost taste it. And you smell... And I think about this. You know, I don't know about you, but even when I read this love letter that God gave me... You know, my wife used to write me love letters, and I used to, you know... She wasn't one of them ladies that sprayed it down with perfume and wet the paper all down, right? But still, she had been near it, so I would go, I'd sniff it. I'd smell it. Because she had been close to it. You know, and I think sometimes, and when things go on in our lives, sometimes, you know, a lot of us, I don't know about me, about you, but my wife has been saying this to me lately, and it really stuck out to me when we were talking about senses. And she's just like, your nose is getting, it's something, I don't know if it's the pollen, it's better for me down here in Florida than it is up north, but I can smell things, man. I can smell, I mean, I could, you know, I was walking through the parking garage at Disney the other day, and I had to get out of there because all I could smell was antifreeze. And I mean, and I was walking by car after car, and when I thought I was getting away from it, I go, man, this car's leaking antifreeze. This car's leaking this. This car's leaking that. Right? Hey, I'm just telling you, you know how we are? We ought to be able to let our smell ought to be, you know, our lives. God, the whole Old Testament is about putting up offerings to Him. And our whole lives are about offering things up to Him, giving one more thing. When we surrender to God and submit things to Him, it's a sweet-smelling savor. And it's not about perfume or putting on the dog or whatever you want to call it to get ready for church so that no one else realizes how you smell. Hey, but spiritually, there are things that we give over to God, that God, He's sitting at His throne, and that one is holy, high and lifted up. When you give that to Him, He goes, I don't know about you, but man, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about this offering. And this is not individual, this is collective. But I guarantee you, as a church, and if we gave the right way, sacrificially giving for the cause of Christ and for His glory, that was an offering that was given to God, and it was a sweet-smelling savor to Him. It was something that did you hear that? Did you get a whiff of that too? that came up from the Landmark Baptist Church. And hey, I don't want it just to be collective for me. I want it to be personal to me. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of what God wants from me. I want to be surrendering, submitting to His will, that God on a daily basis might smell, I'm pleased. What an offering. What a blessing. I can't give everything back, and I could never give as much as He's given me. But I can give, and I can make Him happy because I'm obedient to His commands and to His word. He's holy. I'll never be holy as God is. Well, I will, because I accepted His Son, and He's holy. And even though I'm not holy, when I step across the threshold of heaven, God will say, holy. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. Not because of what I've done and my works. My works are as filthy rags in the presence of God. But because of who Jesus is and what He's done. He gets to His taste and His lips and He says, woe is me. You know, when we get a good picture of God, oftentimes if we're not careful, we'll think it's impossible. There's no way I could live the Christian life. There's no way I could do it. And that's how Isaiah felt when he saw God. He's like, woe is me. No one can live the Christian life. No one can be what God wants them to be. And when he got to that place, then God intervened in his life and picked up something from heaven and took it and put it on his lips and said, you know, I know you think you can't do it, and you couldn't, but I'll do it. Hey, folks, I can't tell you. You know, somebody told me the other day, just recently, and said, you know, they don't believe that I was an introvert. They thought I was always this extrovert. And folks, that's not who I was. That's not, you know, I wasn't this person that had the personality and all that. But I decided a long time ago I just wanted to do what God asked me to do. And I have to work at this. When we're in a fellowship hall and people are all around me, I'm getting claustrophobic. When people come up and hug me, the face you get, that's real. That's like... But I realize God's still working on me and He's helping me be who He wants me to be. Not who I was and not what I thought I could never be, but through Him and through His help. Through things that He gives me from heaven, gifts that He applies in our lives, and we take them and invest them. Boy, he says, and I will dwell in the midst of a people. Listen, I don't know about you, but when I look at America, it ain't what it used to be. But I haven't given up on her yet. I know that she can be what she once was, not by political gain, not by changing who's in the White House, not that it wouldn't help. But it's going to be people coming to Jesus Christ. The reason our world is changing and we have such a great divide is because there's godly and ungodly people. People who are saved and people who don't understand why they should be that way. Folks, I'm just telling you, as we come through the scripture here, he comes through all this and he gets to a place that it brings him to a place when all his senses have been dealt with and are in tune and he recognizes the presence of God. God says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? You know, the great commission of the church, the church's commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. If you want a vision from your pastor for 2024, it's the same one we started with. It's to go out and to tell people in this town and across the world, just for the goal, getting up here, going to a place that it's illegal to go to. Listen, it doesn't matter what they say is legal or not. I've got a higher command. I've got a vision from one that's seated on the throne. And not in Belarus, but in heaven. And he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, preacher, what should my answer be? Well, I'll tell you what your answer will be if you get your senses in tune with the presence of God. You'll say, here am I, God, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. You say, preacher, how do I get there? By surrender. You have to first surrender yourself to salvation. accept that Jesus is the only way for salvation. You can't work yourself there. You can't be baptized to get there. You can't do anything but this. Simply accept what he did to purchase salvation for you. Put your faith and trust in his finished work and accept that as your payment for sin. And that's the starting block. That's the beginning of surrender. And then the Christian life is all surrendering things. Now, you're looking at a preacher who even through this Christmas period realized, if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, if I'm going to level up and step up for him, that there's things, not sinful things, but things that he wants me to surrender to him, things he wants me to give him and say, God, you can have it. You gave me your son. Folks, this 2024, sense God's presence in your life. He's reached out. He did it in Isaiah's life. And if he did it for him, he's a holy and just God who will do that for you. If you say, God, I want to know you through all of my senses, every sense of the word, I want to know you. I want to get to the place where I will be willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, the Lord wants to save you. He's done everything that needs to be done to save your soul. He's died on the cross. He rose again, and he's waiting for you to call upon his name this morning if you'll just put your faith and trust in him. And you say, well, preacher, I know it's simple, but I just still don't know how to do it. Well, we'll take the Bible and help you with it. If you'll step out and come to the front this morning, we will take a Bible and show you how you can do that and know that so that you have eternal life, that you're saved and you have heaven as your home. If you're here this morning and you are saying, preacher, you know what? There's some of my senses that are not in tune or I don't have a clear sense of being in the presence of God. Why don't you come and talk to him about it? He's the one that wants to speak. He spoke through his word to you today, and he wants you to come and speak to him at the altar this morning. He wants to smell that sweet smelling savor of a Christian, a person who knows him, stepping out and giving something back to him this morning. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart, I'll meet you in the front, or I'll meet you at the altar, as Brother Bert sings.